really decisive action to tackle the environmental problems caused by single-use vapes and to tackle the problems they cause for children's health.
From tomorrow, it will become illegal to buy single-use vapes. Will this wean people off the devices, or could it backfire? But first...
How are these weapons getting into the jail? Because we know this particular weapon wasn't a homemade weapon, so it's coming somehow.
Yet another attack on a prison officer at a maximum security site. How is this being allowed to happen, and how best should we tackle it?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 4 o'clock. Despite appealing against a legal challenge, President Trump has announced more tariffs on imports to the United States this morning. He's told steelworkers in Pennsylvania levies on steel and aluminium will double from 25 to 50%. On Thursday, a US trade court tried to block the imposition of duties because of the way they were implemented, but White House correspondent at The Independent, Andrew Feinberg, has been telling LBC the ones applying to metals will probably survive.
Those tariffs were put on initially during his first term using a statutory authority that is not in dispute. Even if the courts end up throwing out his Emergency Power Liberation Day tariffs, these steel and aluminum tariffs will remain because they actually dotted the I's and crossed the T's.
A man's been arrested after a Greater Manchester police sergeant was injured during an alleged hit and run. It's believed his legs were crushed between two vehicles when a car reversed into the officer several times in Rusholme on Friday evening. Environmental activists are warning this weekend's ban on disposable vapes may not be enough to end the waste crisis they're causing. They say new replacement devices, which can be used again, may still be so cheap, people just replace them. The government's circular economy minister is Mary Cray.
If you are going to buy vapes, please, please do not put them in the bin. Take them back to the shop that you bought them. They're all supposed to have recycling points. Make sure that they are going to be responsibly recycled, that we keep the lithium batteries out of recycling facilities, that we stop the 1,200 fires a year that are causing such damage across our country.
The Defence Secretary's announced £1.5 billion of extra investment in military homes over the next 5 years as part of the government's strategic defence review. It's believed the money will be used on urgent work, including boiler repairs, tackling damp and fixing roofs. And the actress Loretta Swit, who played Hot Lips in the TV series MASH, has died at the age of 87. The Korean War sitcom aired for 11 years until 1983. Its final episode attracted more than 100 million viewers. LBC weather, outbreaks of rain in the north, although it will be mainly dry with sunshine in the south and the east of the UK. Cloudy with showers elsewhere and a high of 26 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Henry Reilly.
And a very good morning to you. 3 minutes past four is the... Oh, goodness me, that was... Four is the time. You're listening to Henry Reilly here on LBC. Lovely to have your company. Very nice to be back. Had a couple of Saturdays off, went abroad. So very refreshed and very pleased to be with you this morning. Lots to discuss. We'll be talking about good old Bobby Jenrick after 6 o'clock, going out and taking matters into his own hands and confronting the Fair Dodgers. Do you think that's a wise move? I actually think it's quite a good video. I was listening to James O'Brien praising Robert Jenrick, which is was not on my bingo card yesterday. So we'll discuss that to an extent, by the way. James might reject me saying it was a sort of effusive praise. We'll come into that after six. After five, we're going to be talking about this vape ban that is coming in from tomorrow. Will that actually affect your life? And, I mean, on a sort of day-to-day level, is that going to impact you, i.e. do you use these single-use vapes? But more broadly, even if you don't, do you think it's going to backfire? Do you think that by actually banning these, you're going to end up with people going back to cigarettes? I'll tell you my view after 5 o'clock. However, this hour, though, I want to talk to you about prisons and the situation in our prisons. And I'm afraid, yet again, it's not a particularly happy story. And we hear, rightly so, these ideas of liberalising prison and making prison a better place for inmates so they can be rehabilitated when they're on the outside. Absolutely support that 100%. Absolutely support it. Because I think it's... prison is a place for many people where they can be rehabilitated, and the last thing we want is people on shorter sentences to go back into prison. And as we know, over half the people on sentences of less than a year end up back in jail. So it's not exactly working at the moment, but do we need to really look at the way, when we're talking about prison and prison reform and all this stuff about the sentencing review, that's great, but are we actually neglecting our high security prisons? Because it's all very well saying let's, but with a Cat C prison, Category C prison, which for context is for sort of lower offences, and I've been to a Category C prison. I was visiting HMP High Point, which is in Suffolk, and the work they do there is incredible, and they have a sort of rail track there so people can get onto apprenticeships and do that, which is great, and that's exactly what prison should be about, and equipping people for the outside world, great. However, when it comes to high security prisons and some of the inmates that are in there, do we actually, I mean, I'm not suggesting they're similar in any way, by the way, but do we need to look at really sort of making life there more difficult for the prisoners? Because, and I don't say that in a spiteful way, really. I just say that in that we've had too many attacks now on prison officers and things are going to get worse. I said 3 weeks ago on this programme, by the way, when we had the news of Axel Rudakabana, and I won't say his name many times because he's the despicable individual who murdered those two girls in three girls in Southport, and he managed to get his hands on cooking oil and boiling water, and the whole thing just stinks, really, the fact that he's able to get his hands on things like that in prison. You certainly wouldn't expect it. So, and I said then, I do think that someone is going to get killed. And I still believe that unless we take action. And don't take my words for that. Take the prison officers who say that if we keep having a situation where prison officers are being attacked, don't be surprised when, unfortunately, I mean, we're getting in weapons to Category A prisons. Something bad is going to happen. The reason we're talking about this today, this morning, is because we learned yesterday that a prison officer was fighting... was stabbed yesterday with a flick knife that it's claimed was dropped into a high security jail by a drone. The male warden, who's 25 years old, you think how hard it is to get prison officers, by the way, and how difficult recruitment must be. And we have a young man, 25 years old, who's decided to put on the uniform and do a very brave job. And he's now been assaulted at HMP Long Larton, by the way, a Category A prison. That holds some of Britain's most dangerous offenders, including Thomas Cashman, who murdered 9-year-old Olivia Pratt Corbell, you may remember, a few years ago in Liverpool. Well, let's bring you up to date with exactly what happened at HMP Long Larton. Our reporter, George Ike, has the latest. George, good morning.
Henry, good morning. This happened just before 9:30 yesterday morning when police were called to the jail following reports a prison officer had been stabbed by an inmate. West Mercia police told us the weapon was recovered and that the inmate is still inside HMP Long Larton while their investigation gets underway. Now, it was only last month that the Prison Officers Union called for officers to be issued with stab vests, a call that Mark Fairhurst has now reiterated following this latest attack.
Well, I think stab vests is a good place to start because this clearly would have helped my colleague if he'd have been wearing an issue stab vest on duty. But more needs to be done, certainly in the way that how are these weapons getting into the jail? Because we know this particular weapon wasn't a homemade weapon, so it's coming somehow. We suspect it may have been delivered by drones, which are a massive security threat at the moment. And we've been asking for years for the technology to block these drones accessing prison airspace.
Significantly, this particular prison was actually inspected just 5 months ago by Charlie Taylor, the chief inspector of prisons, and he identified some pretty major issues, including the use of drones delivering drugs and weapons. But most relevant to this attack, inspectors said that men complained basic things like getting a pin for the phone in their cell, property being stuck inside the reception was taking too long, was leading to increasing levels of frustration amongst prisoners. And the report says, and this is a direct quote, that that was likely to be contributing to high levels of staff assaults. It's worth reiterating that this is a Category A jail holding some of the most dangerous offenders who are currently locked up, with over 500 inmates inside. A spokesperson for the prison service has told LBC police are investigating an attack on a prison officer at HMP Long Larton. They said they won't tolerate assaults on hardworking staff and will always push for the strongest punishments against perpetrators. And LBC asked them to respond to our findings in that latest inspection report, but they said they wouldn't be commenting while the investigation's ongoing.
Thank you, George. Much appreciated. George Ike, LBC's reporter, with the details there. 10 minutes after four. He played a clip there of Mark Fairhurst, who's the National Chair of the Prison Officers Association. He spoke with LBC News yesterday and said that violence against officers has drastically increased in the last 6 months. Take a listen.
Every single shift we face this type of risk, and we need protections in place, and we need severe punishments for offenders who commit these atrocious crimes. Stab vests is a good place to start, because this clearly would have helped my colleague if he'd have been wearing an issue stab vest on duty. But more needs to be done, certainly in a way that, how are these weapons getting into the jail? Because we know this particular weapon wasn't a homemade weapon, so it's coming somehow. We suspect it may have been delivered by drones, which are a massive security threat at the moment. And we've been asking for years for the technology to block these drones accessing prison airspace. It's been a really bad week in the service, because we've had three serious assaults on staff. At Whitemore, we had a member of staff had their jaw fractured. They had to have emergency surgery because they had a bleed on the brain after that assault. We've had a member of staff who was swilled with boiling hot water that was, you know, hit him in the face. That was a really serious assault. And now we've had this stabbing at Long Larton. So things need to change. There needs to be a clampdown on violence. You know, our employer will say we have a zero tolerance policy. We know our jails are awash with illicit items. Let's start locking them down and searching every area.
Can you believe some of those attacks on his colleagues? By the way, a prison officer in the UK, when you start your career, you earn between £32,000 and £42,000 a year. Why on earth would you bother? Because some of the attacks that you're subjected to, I mean, not only, as you heard from Mark Fairhurst there, but from people who are notorious killers, people who are the most notorious criminals in the UK, you would expect there not to be the sort of level of freedom that allows them to attack you. I'm at a real loss here, so I do need your help this morning, because I don't know how we tackle this best. I don't have all the answers. Maybe you can help me. If you have been a prison officer, I'd really like to hear from you. If you've done time inside, again, I'd really like to understand where you think we're going wrong. But even if you have no association with prison, we don't want prison officers being routinely attacked, do we? We need to make sure that jails are safe and that jails are secure. Well, firstly, that requires us to have prison officers in the first place. Why you'd want to be a prison officer when you could be threatened with boiling water or hot oil being poured over you remains to be seen. So you have to actually protect these people. How on earth are we in a position, by the way, and Mark Fairhurst there from the Prison Officers Association saying, yeah, we'd like stab vests. Why is that not routine? Cannot understand how we're still at a point where the Prison Officers Union are saying, yeah, we need stab vests, and no one's listening. It's just beggar's belief. I don't really know how we've got into a position whereby police have stab vests, absolutely, prison officers don't have stab vests. Particularly when attacks are going up, it seems to be beggar's belief. The reason I really wanted to talk to you about this as well, you heard George Ike there, he was mentioning Charlie Taylor, who, if you don't know, he's the sort of inspector of prisons. He has been saying for years that this is a risk and that something like this will happen. So we've known this is happening. Politicians cannot suddenly wake up this morning and go, oh, isn't it terrible? Isn't it awful that we've had another attack on a prison officer? Isn't that shameful? What is shameful is the fact that we've known this was going to happen for some time and absolutely nothing has been done about it. I mentioned some other instances. So what we have, we don't know who the prisoner is, but they're in a Category A prison at HMP Long Larton, attacking a 25-year-old male warden who I imagine is pretty scarred by the whole incident, both physically and I imagine mentally, emotionally. He was stabbed with a flick knife. Let me remind you that it was only a few weeks ago, a couple of months back, that counter-terror police have now had to intervene because there was an attack on three prison officers by Hashim Abedi. You remember him. He was one of the complete lowlifes who was responsible for the Manchester Arena bombing. Prison service said three officers were treated in hospital after the attack at HMP Frankland in County Durham, a Category A prison, a maximum security prison. If you don't remember the Manchester Arena bombings, by the way, just to remind you, this was the 2017 suicide bombing. And apparently we're in a position where he was able to get his hands on hot cooking oil, threw them over the officers, hot cooking oil, and used homemade weapons to stab them. Let me remind you of a couple of weeks ago, we had Axel Rudakabana. Again, I'll try not to mention his name too many times, who was the perpetrator of the Southport murders, the three girls in Southport. He managed to throw boiling water over prison officers. The attack was first reported by The Sun, and it renewed concerns because of the Hashim Abedi attack. In particular, with regards to the Southport killer, murderer, how was he getting his hands on boiling water? Because I know that you have to obviously let prisoners live to some extent. I get that. I said this at the time. I'm more than happy to say it now. If he wants a kettle for boiling water to have a cup of tea, well, I'll tell you what's a really simple policy. You don't get any tea. If you've committed a crime like that, where you've murdered three girls in Southport, tough. Let's do the same with cutlery. Knives, forks, things that can be used as a weapon. I'll tell you what, let's make sure he has no cutlery for the rest of his life. Keep him in there, make him eat with his hands, make him eat off the floor if necessary. I could not care less. So this morning, I want to know from you, how is this being allowed to happen in our prisons, do you think? And how best should we tackle it? 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. You WhatsApp us on that same number, 0345 6060 973. Text 84850 or ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. Our prison officers are being routinely attacked now. How on earth are we going to stop it? Your call's next.
This is LBC.
If you've been injured in an accident at work, you could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. Talk to Harris Fowler today. For over 25 years, we've helped people who've been injured at work, in a warehouse, a factory, on site, or anywhere. With a 97% success rate, call the award-winning Harris Fowler now. 0800 213 214. It's no win, no fee, no risk. Harris Fowler, the personal injury solicitor.
For whoever they want to be in life, give them a great start with WellKid. Carefully balanced, great-tasting vitamins and minerals for 4 to 12-year-olds, with specific nutrients such as zinc and vitamin D, which support normal immune system function. The WellKid range from Vitabiotics, from Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com.
You could be a lotto millionaire like Terry. Get your ticket for tonight's draw. The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
I've looked after my kids since they were born. Now they've got kids. I still want to look after them. I don't want them struggling to make decisions about my money or my health if I can't. So we made a lasting power of attorney. Now, if I can't speak for myself, they'll speak for me. It's a weight off for all of us. Isn't it?
Yes, Mum. Lasting power of attorney. Search your voice, your decision.
This is LBC with Henry Riley. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
And good morning to you. 19 minutes past four is the time. Saturday the 31st of May. You're listening to Henry Reilly with you here on LBC. We're talking this hour about our prisons because it emerged yesterday a prison officer was stabbed with a flick knife that is claimed was dropped into a high security jail by drone. How on earth are we allowing things to be dropped in by drone? I don't understand enough about drones, so I don't really know how that's possible to fly over. I suppose you do it at an exact time, an exact meeting point, but how that's not being noticed by anyone is also incredible to me. A source with knowledge of the Worcestershire prison told the Mail, this is the newspaper, the attacker used a flick knife brought in by a drone. The source said drones were a real issue there and warned an officer would be killed if the problem was not resolved. They said the governor isn't stopping the drones coming in. They're dropping items to prisoners in their cells. Something needs to be doing because this sort of thing is always happening. Well, again, I don't have that much knowledge of the prison system. I've only visited a Cat C prison once. I have no idea about what happens in Cat A prisons. If you do, give me a call. If you've been a prison officer, if you are a prison officer, if you've done time inside, why are we getting this so wrong? And what exactly is the solution to stop prison officers being assaulted? Is it as simple as giving them the right kit? Do we need to look more widely about how we treat Category A prisoners? And when there are people who've committed the most heinous crimes, like Axel Ruder Cabana, people who, let's be absolutely plain, put it in English, are evil. When there's people who are evil, then what sorts of rights are we giving them in prison? I couldn't care less, to be honest. But how they're able to get their hands on flick knives, I mean, why are they not being monitored 24/7? But as far as sort of boiling water and cups of tea go, tough. Let's eliminate that tomorrow. That could solve part of it. But what exactly is the solution, do you think? 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. How is this being allowed to happen in prisons? Whether you have experience of it or not, what do you think? Why have we got to a position where this is seemingly rife, people being attacked, prison officers being attacked, I should say, and how best would you tackle it? 0345 6060 973 is the number. Pete the Poor Man, good morning, says, morning from Dubai. I would have thought a stab vest would have been standard issue as a prison guard. Typical UK, never have the tools, I can never do the job, ridiculous. Well, I have a lot of sympathy with you there, Pete. Tony says, build super max prisons. This is a sort of a American-style prison, isn't it? 24-hour lockup, chain prisoners to the wall, and take a finger or toe for every attack. See, I do disagree with you there, Tony. I understand emotions are very high, but I don't agree with torture, so let's be absolutely clear about that. But in terms of actually giving some of these people who are evil fewer freedoms, I'm absolutely in favour of that. Joseph says, when people are sentenced, they go to prison as a punishment, not for punishment. Therefore, when they're inside, we should offer them an education. Yes, but to some extent, right? I don't really see what the benefit would be in actually educating Axel. I won't say his name again, but I don't see what benefit there would be in educating this particular man, because he's not going to get out, and I don't see why we should be draining resources doing that, to be honest, with some people. And in this Cat C prison I was in, which I keep talking about, HMP High Point in Suffolk, I mean, that was a great example to me of how prison can be done right. And people there were on they're on textile courses. They were genuinely wanting to turn their lives around. And in those cases, great, you can't lock people up forever. And there's obviously a whole conversation about who should go to jail and who shouldn't with this whole sentencing review. But I wonder, let's focus, because it's all very well liberalising prison and making sure that people who get out are able to thrive and who are able to not fall into a life of crime again. And I absolutely support that. But let's focus this morning on Category A prisoners, i.e. the most serious offenders. What is the solution? Where has it all gone wrong? 0345 6060973 is the number. Before we go to Ian in Surbiton, this, by the way, comes in from Joe, says, it's appalling to hear prison officers being assaulted. Unfortunately, it kind of goes with the job. But I suspect one of the reasons it's coming to media attention this way is because the prison officers are gearing up to make a pay claim that is above inflation. Joseph, what a ridiculous point that prison officers are making hay of this because they want more money. They probably do want more money. I don't blame them. Some earning 32 grand a year to have to deal with some of the most notorious criminals in the country, to have to be at risk, on guard 24/7, fearing for their lives. Yeah, well, if they do want a pay rise, I think quite a lot of people would be sympathetic to that. But the idea that they're putting this out in the media to get more money is, I think, stretching it a little bit. This says the solution is the death penalty. Let's have a national campaign to bring it back. Well, again, I don't agree with that. I really don't agree. We've seen it countless times. Think of Andrew Malkinson, by the way, that man who was arrested for rape, spent, I think it was around 20 years in prison, and is now out. He's now a free man. You do end up in positions where the law gets it wrong. Ian's in Surbiton. Ian, nice to hear from you. What would you like to say?
Hello, Henry. I see that Pete the Poor Man's in Dubai, so he's either doing a job or, boy, God, does that money pay for him to have a holiday. Well done, mate.
I was going to say, there's no shortage of pools in Dubai as well. True. What would you like to say, Ian, about what we're discussing?
Well, I like watching programmes called Abandoned Engineering. I saw this one a few months ago, set on, I think it was in Sardinia, and they were just looking at this place thinking, what the hell is this place? And it turned out to be a former prison. Hmm. That was used to hold the highest of all the mafia people in Italy. And they were well secured. No visitors. Everything came through these guards. These guards were not bribable. They were well armed. And every prisoner was segregated from everybody else. And the worst one was right in the middle of this prison, in the deepest part of it. Now, it makes me think that now the French are thinking of opening up another, shall we say, a version of Devil's Island.
Yeah.
The Malaysians had their sort of version of Devil's Island. Even Trump is thinking, oh, what if I could open Alcatraz again?
Yeah. It's well, which he can't, obvious, by the way, but anyway.
No, it's a bit too defunct, but hey, never put it past him. No. I'm thinking, here we are, a nation full of islands. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, and not for Category A prisoners. No, they can stay where they are. We're talking about the ones who are just beyond that, who transgress beyond that even. Look, put them there and forget about them. Guard them. Their only right is to be alive. Their right to get some food. Nothing else.
Mm.
And just forget them.
But does that really solve the... I mean, look, I have a lot of sympathy with that, but does it actually solve the problem? I don't know.
Do you know what? Unless someone comes up with a better idea, let's remove them from where they can hurt people, put them somewhere where they can't hurt people, and just supply them with their basic human right of being alive, some food, some water, and then forget them.
And that's the solution, is it?
Yep, they're there for life. So if you guys want to go around committing crimes like stabbing a prison warden, you may not get onto that system. But if you kill them, oh, you will. Because where are we going to put you beyond Category A?
Well, yeah.
So what if you keep escalating it? It's the prisoners to think about this. If someone keeps escalating it, how far do you go?
Why on earth would you want to be a prison officer as well, is what I don't understand. And by the way, fair play to the men and women who do. But it would seem at the moment to be one of the most unattractive jobs, in the sense that you're not paid particularly well. And in a lot of cases, they must read this stuff about their colleagues and think, well, that could be me.
And it's previous government's fault. Not so much the Labour one at the moment, because they're still in, but they were part of previous governments. Who was it who ran down the prison service? Who wouldn't pay the senior officers money? So they got rid of them and brought in younger ones who didn't really know what they were doing. You know, they had to learn on the job. And the prisoners, they're not stupid. There's some very clever people in prison. They can look at some of these prison officers and go, well, they're easy.
Hmm. Well, so you think we're in a position, actually, where some of these prisoners feel that they rule the roost because they're sort of, they can overpower these younger prison officers. Is that what you think? I mean, this poor man was 25.
Yeah, even in comedy films or series or films about prison, isn't there always someone inside that prison who's like the boss?
Yeah.
No one's going to mess with them. You know, sometimes you're in isolation, so no one can mess with them if they wanted to. But, you know, there's always someone in charge of prison, in charge of prison from inside, let alone the staff.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I haven't spent time inside, so I don't know. But certainly from films and TV shows, I mean, I'm watching Prison Break at the moment, or I'm trying to at least. But that is, you're right, there is generally someone who rules the roost, as you say. Ian, nice to hear from you as always. Ian there in Surbiton. Carl, coming to you on this in just a moment. We hear of another prison officer who's been attacked. Again, at a Cat A prison, Category A prison, i.e. the most serious offenders, maximum security. Why do you think this is being allowed to happen? Why is it happening? And how best can we tackle it? 0345 6060973 plus...
And I'll continue to be visiting here and be a friend and advisor to the president.
It's goodbye, but not quite goodbye, as Elon Musk departs the White House with his official role. But we hear he'll still be advising the president. Also, lots of other claims flying around about Elon Musk. We'll discuss that when we go stateside in just a moment. 4:30 is the time. Let's get the news headlines with Tim Daly.
Despite appealing against a legal challenge, President Trump's announced more tariffs on imports to the US this morning. He says levies on steel and aluminium will double to 50%. A man's been arrested after a Greater Manchester police sergeant was injured during an alleged hit and run. It's thought his legs were crushed between two vehicles in Rush Home in Manchester on Friday evening. And the Defence Secretary has announced £1.5 billion of extra investment in military homes over the next 5 years as part of the government's strategic defence review. It's believed the money will be used on urgent work, including tackling damp and boiler repairs. LBC weather, outbreaks of rain for the north, but it should be mainly dry with sunshine in the south and the southeast, cloudy with showers elsewhere, and a high of 26 degrees.
LBC.
Where would we be without the curiosity to explore?
It takes us to new places.
It even got us to the moon.
And now there's never been a better time to satisfy your curiosity about electric cars. With great offers on our award-winning range, including the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, available with £2,000 deposit contribution and 0% APR. Discover more at Hyundai.co.uk. Ends 30th of June 25. Finance subject to status. Hyundai Motor UK Limited is a credit broker, not a lender. Terms apply.
Barclays ready-made investments. The clue's in the name. Not Barclays where do I begin investments. You can start from £50. That's why they're not difficult to get started investments either. And you can choose your risk level. So they're hardly in at the deep end investments. So if you've got savings and you want to help grow your money over 5 years or more, then search Barclays Ready Made Investments. Make money work for you. Investing is not for everyone. The value of investments can fall as well as rise, and you may get back less than you invest. T's and C's apply.
You probably think you're pretty good at multitasking behind the wheel. I mean, you have to multitask to drive. So what's wrong with checking your phone? The thing is, your brain simply doesn't work. For quick reply, affects your concentration, and makes you less able to react to hazards. If you use a mobile phone while driving, you're 4 times more likely to crash. Think. Put your phone away.
Henry Reilly on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
We're going to go stateside in a moment, get the very latest after the bromance between Elon Musk and Donald Trump seems to have, well, not completely ended, but this seems to be sort of slightly ending. Of course, he's leaving his official role, but says he's still going to be advising the president. First, though, on prisons, we're discussing this because we have yet another prison officer who's been attacked by an inmate at a maximum security prison. This time, a 25-year-old prison officer, probably not earning that much money, has been attacked. What is the solution? Carl is a new caller in Chorley. Hello, Carl, good morning. What would you like to say? Carl, can you hear me? I can't hear Carl. So let's leave Carl for the moment and we'll come back to him in just a moment. I'm not quite sure if he was by the phone or what happened there. Anyway, we'll head back to Carl in a second. Loads of calls coming in. Jimmy, Fred, with you in a second. I did mention, though, about the United States. At a press conference with Donald Trump, Elon Musk said this is not the end of Doge.
I just want to thank Elon and all of...
This is not the end of DOGE, but really the beginning. My time as a special government employee necessarily had to end. It was a limited time thing. It's 134 days, I believe, which ends in a few days. So so that it comes with a time limit. But the DOGE team will only grow stronger over time. The DOGE influence will only grow stronger. It's I liken it to a sort of Buddhism. It's like a way of life. So it is permeating throughout the government, and I'm confident that over time we'll see $1 trillion of savings and a reduction in $1 trillion of waste and fraud reduction. The DOGE team is doing an incredible job. They're going to continue doing an incredible job, and I'll continue to be visiting here and be a friend and advisor to the president.
Well, the US president had a special gift of thanks for Elon Musk after the 134 days as head of Trump's department, or head of the Department of Government Efficiency.
Well, Spar Alua.
And all of his people, most of those people are staying, almost all of them are staying, and they're going to be with us. And you're going to see the results coming long into the future, even a year and 2 years later. You're going to see a lot of the results, and those hundreds of billions of dollars are going to be adding up, and they're going to continue to add. It'll be interesting, it's really interesting to see what the final number is going to be. But again, Elon gave an incredible service. Nobody like him. And he had to go through the slings and the arrows, which is a shame because he's an incredible patriot. The good news is that 90% of the country knows that, and they appreciate it, and they really appreciate what he did. And I gave him a little special something we have here.
Thank you.
A very special, that I give to very special people. I have given it to some, but it goes to very special people, and I thought I'd give it to Elon as a presentation from our country.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elon.
Thank you.
Take care.
Certainly is a really special person. But a few gremlins in the system, by the way. We'll edit that out afterwards. Michael Hiltzik joins me now to discuss this further. Columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Thank you very much for joining us, Michael. Will the American people be mourning the loss of Elon Musk from government?
Well, I don't think the general public is going to be mourning the loss of Elon Musk from government. And I don't think most of the cabinet members who have been appointed by Trump are going to miss him either. He had conflicts with many of them. He created chaos in their agencies. They didn't appreciate that. And the reports are that at least once he came to fisticuffs with one of the cabinet members. So he's not going to, his departure is not going to be lamented.
Do we know why he turned up looking like he'd been in a sort of pub brawl? He had a black eye, didn't he?
Well, he claims it was from roughhousing with one of his children, but look, he's been in conflict. You know, there have been violent confrontations between him and members of the Trump administration. So who knows? And during this entire press conference, he looked woozy. There's speculation that he may even have been on drugs during it. So, as I said, nobody's going to miss him, really.
What's the legacy of DOGE, do you think, this concept that he's been trying to champion?
Well, DOGE was incredibly unsuccessful at meeting the ambitions that Musk had set out for it. It didn't find anywhere near the savings that he claimed he would find. And in fact, some of the changes that his people made in agencies are going to cost the U.S. government money. So he's probably ended up in the red through all this. It's just been a very unsuccessful venture.
Can you explain why he's actually left?
Well, he's left in part because the federal law says that a temporary appointee like Musk can only serve for something in the neighborhood of 130 days, and then he's got to leave, and he has reached that deadline, and he's got to go. And he alluded to that in one of the clips that you just aired. He's not allowed to stay. I think he's anxious to leave because his businesses are failing with him no longer at the steering wheel.
Do you think that, I mean, he says, or Donald Trump certainly says, he's going to be back and forth. Elon Musk has said similar, and that he will be advising him. But, I mean, to what extent, Michael, was it just a transactional relationship? Elon Musk helped him get elected. Donald Trump then gave Elon Musk a load of headlines and let him get on with sort of creating a bit of a drama. But is that really the end of Elon Musk being around the top of government, do you think? Will he actually play a big role if and when he comes back for advice?
Oh, I don't think so. Every relationship for Trump is transactional. And this was a case where the transaction is pretty much over. I'm not sure, and we have reports that Trump himself was not all that happy with Musk's role in his government because Musk actually outshined him in many ways. And that's not something that Trump really appreciates at all. So I think we probably will not hear much more of Elon Musk in government.
Can you talk to me about this allegation? And the reason I ask you is I see it in all of the papers that the Elon Musk was using ketamine on the campaign. I mean, where do these claims emerge from, and has Elon Musk commented on them?
Well, Elon Musk has denied it. I think the allegations come from people who witnessed his behavior and his performance during the campaign. Now, we haven't heard that this was his condition after the campaign was over and when he was now operating in government. But as I said, his appearance at the press conference that he held with Trump at the White House today certainly did not encourage people to think that he was sober.
Interesting. Lastly, while I have you, Michael, we've learned that Donald Trump has announced has announced 50% on steel tariffs and hailed a blockbuster deal with Japan. On the tariffs, can you tell us more? Because I am slightly struggling to keep up with where we are, other than the sort of 10% base rate of tariff. But there's going to be a further tariff now on steel, is there?
Well, so he says. Everybody is struggling to keep up with it. As you may know, two federal courts now have ruled that almost all of the tariffs are illegal and unconstitutional. The steel and aluminum tariffs are an exception, but saying that, Trump has said they're going to double to 50%, that really is just incoherent and insane. 50% tariffs on imported steel and aluminum are just going to hurt American industries that rely on imported steel and aluminum to build things, including building cars, building railroads, building bridges, And as you may know, Trump has this habit of basically chickening out on tariffs. And I think everybody is expecting that the same thing is going to happen, that he's going to announce them, he's going to threaten to impose them, and then he's going to back down when the consequences become clear.
Great to talk to you as always. Thank you very much for your time. Michael Hiltzik is a columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Back to the UK, back to the discussion about prisons. Let's try again with Carl. Hello, Carl. Can you hear me all right?
Hi, mate.
There we go. It's all right. I think we had a gremlin in the system. What do you think the solution is to, or part of the solution to, what's going on in our prisons?
Well, there's not one at the minute, is there? But the thing is with prisons, I mean, they're overcrowded. They're short-staffed, and it's our work. Even police forces are short-staffed, and, you know, they're trying their hardest, you know, at the minute. But with something like we was on about before with, you know, the Axel incident in the boiling water.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And I think they should do like they do with custody, where you get given a brew. You know, instead of you making your own.
Yeah. Well, you can minimise the risk.
I agree. No prisoner in high school prison should be allowed boiling water.
Yeah.
Because there's a term called jugging, what goes around in prisons.
Yeah.
You know, with boiling water and sugar. And that, you know, it can boil, it can burn people's faces. You know, so, yeah, no high school in prison should allow any prisoner boiling water, I don't think.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion.
Go on. Were you going to say something else? You said prisons were short-staffed. Incidents like this, doesn't make people want to join, though, does it? These incidents are not going to get people flooding in with applications to join the prison service, are they, if they know they're likely to be attacked?
Exactly, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. No.
Mm. What's the solution, though?
High security prisons, you shouldn't allow any prisoners boiling water, especially because that's an easy way to target anyone.
And then do we need to give them sort of added protections, be that stab vests, even tasers? I don't know.
Well, yeah, well, police force have tasers, don't they? So yeah. Why shouldn't prison officers not? Yeah.
And should that be the way we approach it, yeah?
I would in high security prisons, Strange Ways, Belmarsh, places like that. That's what I would.
Yeah. Interesting views, Carl. Thank you very much. And you caller there in Chorley in Lancashire. This comes in from Ryan, who says 14 years of cuts, not taxing wealth. Make it look broken, then privatise, says Ryan. This from Celia says, prison officers' wages should be quadrupled. It infuriates me. I don't care if they're dressed like Robocop. We've the wrong people in charge, as usual. We politicians who don't care about us. That's the bottom line. We should use solitary confinement until we can find a better way. Bernadette says, it's the same in forensic mental health units that are filled mainly now with male transferred prisoners that are currently serving sentences for all manner of serious crimes. I'm not talking about high security mental health units such as Broadmoor or Rampton. These are low, medium secure units. There are no guards. Staff have an alarm. And that's all they carry, really. And Caroline from Hertfordshire says, where the prison officers are involved, we need better training for them. Instead of just putting a 20-year-old for 6 weeks, they need to be able to go and have proper training, shadow somebody for at least 6 weeks to get the relevant training. I'm slightly paraphrasing here. But the rehabilitation, which the government is not going to pay the money. Yeah, and I think rehabilitation works to some extent and with some people, but not to everyone, does it? More calls in a moment. Jimmy, Fred, don't go anywhere. You're listening to Henry Reilly here on LBC, and it's 4:45.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
The only way is up for the UK's military spending.
I can announce this government will begin the biggest sustained increase in defence spending since the end of the Cold War.
And now a pledge to go further, as the government promises to get off defence and publish the Strategic Defence Review. The Prime Minister says Britain needs to get fighting fit, but will his plans simply cause more offence?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast, back Monday morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player and the new LBC app.
If you've been injured in an accident at work, you could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. Talk to Harris Fowler today. For over 25 years, we've helped people who've been injured at work, in a warehouse, a factory, on site, or anywhere. With a 97% success rate, call the award-winning Harris Fowler now. 0800 213 214. It's no win, no fee, no risk. Harris Fowler, the personal injury solicitor.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips?
Your best bet is to head over to BetVictor. They've got bags of offers and promotions kicking about.
Like what?
For a start, all them weekly promotions.
Oh, yeah?
There's the Loyalty Club, the BetVictor Predictor. And in Casino, they've got the Spinners Club, which is a weekly slot thingamajig. And you can also order food to your door.
Can you?
Oh, no, hang about. That's a different app.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet at BetVictor. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. Gambleaware.org.
Hillary's mid-season sale just got even better. Get up to 40% off hundreds of made-to-measure styles. Plus, get an extra 10% off absolutely everything. That's 10% off all blinds, curtains and shutters. And an extra 10% off our new range of awnings and pergolas, with measuring and fitting always included. Book your free in-home appointment today. Visit hillarys.co.uk. Hurry, Hillary's extra 10% off everything must end 2nd of June. Conditions apply.
Calling all young creatives. Kickstart your career in media. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12 at Global Academy. globalacademy.com.
This is LBC. Message Henry Reilly on WhatsApp now. 0345 6060973.
Very good morning to you. It's Early Breakfast with me, Henry Reilly, here on LBC, talking about prisoners and prisons in particular, because officers there are being attacked. And in what seems like a recurring story, we're hearing about these all the time. I've mentioned right at the start, you had the Manchester Arena bomber, or the brother of, who was involved in planning the attack, who managed to get his hands on a sort of makeshift weapon and also hot oil. You've also got the Southport murderer, who managed to get his hands on boiling water and throw it over prison officers. And we hear yesterday that, again, at a maximum security prison, a Category A prison. One particular officer, 25-year-old man, has been attacked. This happened at HMP Long Larton, and I'm asking what we can do about it. Jimmy's in Brisbane, in Australia. Hello, in Brisbane, I should say. Hello, Jimmy. What would you like to say?
Hey, mate. Maybe because I'm living in what once was our biggest prison, got me thinking that we've offshored all our manufacturing. Why don't we offshore our prisoners? Not to Australia, but to China.
Right. Why would they want to do that?
Well, let's wait. It costs about £50,000 a year to keep an average prisoner, I believe, in prison in England.
Okay.
I reckon if we said to the Chinese, we'll give you £30,000 a year for every prisoner you take, they'd build supermax prisons like they were going out of fashion. And all we'd have to do is sell some sort of Conair thing and fly them out there. Everyone's maybe serving 5 years or more, or 10 years. Every prisoner's doing a long sentence.
I mean, I haven't heard that as an idea, I have to say. I mean, the issue is
my idea. I've just thought of it.
Yeah, well, yeah, the issue is what the Chinese might want in return.
They'd want money.
Well, yeah, no, I appreciate that. But there's a lot of other, as you may, you know, you'll hear regularly in the news, there's a lot of sort of scepticism when it comes to China and what they are sort of after. And I don't know whether giving them sort of...
Remember during COVID when they built massive hospitals real fast?
Yeah, really quickly, yeah.
They would build prisons really quick. And if we paid them, they'd toe the line and they'd do what they need to do. And they would house the prisoners no trouble at all.
So offshoring
it would save us half the money.
And what would happen to all the prison officers in the UK?
Well, we haven't got enough prisoners' officers in the UK. The prison officers we've got could look after the short-term prisoners.
And at what point would you send people abroad? Because, I mean, you know, people have to be...
If they were serving 5-10 years, maybe.
Right. But you still have to have prisons for people.
Maybe 10 years.
Yeah, but, I mean... Just to be clear, you wouldn't do this. I mean, if I stole your mobile, not that that's okay, but you would. This would be for the most serious offences, right?
Yeah. If you're serving 10 years or more, maybe. If you're sentenced to 10 years or more.
Well, it's an idea. Thank you very much, Jimmy. That's certainly got me thinking. Jimmy there in Brisbane in Australia. Why don't we offshore our prisoners to China? Do you think that would work? Fred, with you in a second. Marie says, 25 years ago, I was in a mental health ward. We weren't allowed anything dangerous like dressing gown belts. We were served ready cooked food with no choice. Hot drinks were served four times a day and they weren't hot. We weren't allowed more than that as it would exceed the budget. If ill people who aren't at fault are treated like that, why can't these dangerous prisoners be suitably restricted in what they can have or do? David in Fife says there's no mistake in the case of the Southport killer when it would come to him being killed. He's 100% guilty. I would give them an opportunity. I would also put... Yeah, I mean, we go into detail there, but I think I take the point, David, that you would support the death penalty in that instance. Fred is in Normandy. Hello, Fred.
Good morning.
Morning. What do you think?
Well, the guy from Brisbane has stole my thunder, actually.
Oh.
I suggested to you about a week or so ago, now that they've kicked back acid out of Syria, and the interim government had released a lot of prisoners from the jails there, political prisoners, they have plenty of room. So why don't we send some really difficult, troublesome prisoners from the UK to Syria, pay them, of course. Wait a minute, let me finish this time. Now then, that will set a precedent to the other troublesome prisoners that if you don't toe the line, off you go. Now, this is not only prisoners, but habitual criminals. Like that guy that you featured about a month or two ago, who had committed his 79th offence and was given a conditional discharge, or whatever you call it. He was bound over, 2 years suspended, that was it. Send him off to Syria.
What about if Syria don't want our prisoners, Fred?
Oh, Eureka. You always can drown
look.
What do you mean, here we go? I'm asking you a question.
All right. Okay, mate. Sorry. I know you are.
That's all right. Go on. What do you think?
Well, you pay them. You know, something similar to that silly Rwanda scheme that the tourist cooked up regarding the boat people.
Okay. It's an interesting view, Fred, and I'm grateful you've called in again. Thank you. Fred there in Normandy. Jack's in West Kensington. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Henry. How are you?
I'm very well. What would you like to say?
Wonderful. I think in terms of the prisoner attacks, obviously, as you mentioned, Axel Rudakabana with the kettle attack as they had previously. The only reason why he was able to get access to a kettle to begin with is because of a previous judicial decision which determines that every prisoner has a human right to a kettle. Rather than dealing with the prisoners as they were on a threat level versus someone who was in prison for fraud versus someone who was in prison for a seriously violent attack. This case, I can't exactly remember how long ago this case was. I would say perhaps within the last 5 to 10 years. But this case, therefore, determines that every prisoner has a human right to a kettle. And therefore, because of this judicial decision, we've ended up with Axel Rudakabana being able to use boiling water to attack a prison guard in the way that he did. So I will think a lot of these prison problems do come back to the problems of the, what I would say, woke judiciary.
Oh, goodness.
I know. It is a buzzword, but I think it's fair at this point. So I think there's a lot of people, there's a lot of judges who want to be reasonable to prisoners who are in the prison system, as I think everybody would do. But I think they are not proportionate enough when dealing with violent and non-violent prisoners, and because they want to be reasonable,
and I don't understand. I don't understand why all prisoners are treated the same. Why that is the case, and why we. I mean, if you have got life, well, surely that's a reasonable point to say. Well, actually, you forfeit that.
Well, no, I completely agree, and I think this is the problem with the judicial system, which currently treats people as if they are all exactly the same. You know, there is no difference between someone who has had a couple of burglaries or has done, you know, a bit of business fraud versus the Axel Rudakabana who has murdered, you know, multiple young girls on the streets of Southport. They are treated exactly the same. And because they're treated exactly the same, it then leads to the consequences that we have seen now.
Exactly, and it keeps happening. Jack, I'm going to leave it there. Apologies for cutting you short. I've got a former prison officer on the line who I want to squeeze in before the end of the hour. Nice to hear from you, Jack. Matt's in Leeds. Hi, Matt.
Good morning. You all right?
Good, thank you. How long were you a prison officer for?
I did 14 years.
And could I ask what sort of category prisons you were working in?
I dealt with young offenders, women and Cat B, so across the range.
Got it. And what do you think about what we're discussing, the attacks on prison officers?
I think it's inevitable, to be perfectly honest. There was a lot of very, very good experienced staff that got made redundant by the last government. They got voluntary veg. So you've got really experienced staff who have done years and years in some of the hardest prisons, then get offered a massive package to leave. Mm. And that's been backfilled by staff who... no disrespect to them, I'm sure they're doing their absolute best, but they're leaving university or it's one of the first jobs. Whereas before it was ex-military or people with a bit of life experience. I don't think it's down to staffing, let's be perfectly honest.
But what's that staffing down to? Is it pay, conditions, both?
It's down to the fact that the government didn't want to pay any money for the prison system. It's not a vote winner, is it? So you can put X amount of police on the streets, but when you mention prisons, as long as people can't see people climbing over walls, they're not really that bothered. And I think fundamentally, it's down to funding. If you put more staff onto the wings, it's more secure. Prisoners feel more secure, which then reduces the risk of violence towards other prisoners and staff. And I just, I just think that you need more staff in the jails, 100%. But I think also the system is very, very broken across the whole justice system.
Did you feel safe when you were a prison officer, Matt, in terms of the sort of equipment you had?
Right. No, to start with, yes. When I first started, we were unlocking with quite a large number of staff. Even when I moved to my last jail, which was a Cat B, we had about 18 staff on a wing, all of which were doing, rounds, checking the basic security of the jail, dealing with any prisoner complaints or issues that they had, whether it be communication with family or they've got an issue with a visit or the money. And then when I left, we were expecting 5 staff to do the same job.
Wow, and that just demonstrates, really, doesn't it, the level of change that there's been. Matt, I wish we had longer. I'm afraid the music means we must move on. Thank you very much for calling Matt there in Leeds, a former prison officer. We're going to move on. Coming up...
Do you think it's all right not to pay? Seriously, why do you go back to the barrier and pay? Do you want to go back and pay like everybody else? Do you think it's all right not to pay? Why don't you go back and pay?
Detective Chief Inspector Robert Jenrick on the London Underground having a go at fare dodgers. We'll come to that after 6. Was he performing a public service, do you think? But after the news...
We're taking really decisive action to tackle the environmental problems caused by single-use vapes and to tackle the problems they cause for children's health.
Now, it's not just a Labour policy, it was a Conservative one too. And from tomorrow, disposable vapes will be banned across the UK. Is that a positive idea to get people away from vaping, or could it backfire?
On your radio.